Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Cubs fans, it's Pat Hughes.
And Ron Coomer here. And right now you're listening to the Spiegel and Holmes Show.
We're a very important radio show.
Very good, Matt. Thank you.
That should be a tagline for this show.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Lawrence Holmes.
Yeah. Lawrence, don't call me Larry.
Spiegel guy. What's his first name?
Going great, Max. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Matt. Always a pleasure. Speak to you soon.
And Lawrence, stop dominating the conversation the way you have over the last several minutes, really.
Adam Amin.
This show is a party today. My goodness.
I like this kind of party.
I was wondering what that cloud was after Huddler walked out of the room.
Dude.
Ah, man, anytime you guys want me, I'll come in the studio. We'll have some fun.
Just to be clear, like, we love fun.
It is all like rain on Trump.
That's the one, Lawrence.
Yeah.
That's why we're a team. Baby.
I like our team.
You guys are great.
You're right. Thanks, Chris.
All right, Weasel.
We'll send him the book.
From Emerson College, the good vibes provider, 5'10", Matt Spiegel.
Hey, where is Space?
From DePaul University at 5'10", Lawrence Hall.
Thank you. 5'10".
Lawrence has done it all. Earned his master's from the University of Alabama.
High time!
Lawrence Holmes, congratulations to you. You are appreciated by many, many people.
Matt Spiegel is one of the great baseball people, and not only in this town, but across the country.
Chris is talented. Chris has got it. Chris is the best part of this show.
Rodgers Coon, they get their wish.
First of all, thanks for having me. I always enjoy being on with you, Lawrence. King of Evergreen Park.
You guys are the not messing around crew. I like it.
You guys are friends of the program, man. I can never turn y'all down.
Everything everyone said about the score and you being a tyrant is totally wrong. Wait, is that what you wanted me to say? Write it down again.
If they mention the score, we'll go hug it out.
Gonna hug it out with Jeremy Piven.
Matt was talking about the dishwasher.
That's my kind of sports radio right there.
This is where we have a big open and then it's like, music!
Chicago! Let's go!
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. We are here with you until 6 o'clock. There's a lot to do, and we only have 2 hours to do it. Alex is here. Tanny is here. That man is Big Ant Heron.
Hello!
Spiegs is out today, so Big Ant Heron is going to babysit me and this show as we talk about a lot of stuff today. The Cubs have clinched a playoff berth. They still can technically win the division, but they have clinched a playoff berth. For the first time in 5 years, the Cubs are going back to the playoffs. So that's a big deal. And there's also news about the Cubs that we need to discuss, and we will do that. The other thing is, there's stuff going on at Halas Hall. You have a coach challenging his team publicly. You have guys getting on the Twitter machine, and I would suggest to all of those guys to put the Twitter machine away.
We've been here. We've done this.
Yeah. Yeah, we have been here. And the thing about it that I think is kind of cool, and we'll get to it more in a little bit, I think that there's a head coach here who is not going to stand for it.
Yeah.
And Tanny and Alex were saying this in the pre-show meeting. this can go one of two ways. Mm-hmm. This could be the galvanizing thing and weeding out process of players that don't want to play, and maybe the guys get the message and start playing, or it can be full-on revolt, which we saw last year with the previous head coach. We'll get to that in a minute. We do want to make sure that we take care of the people that stayed with us through the post-game show, and we thank you for that. The Cubs, with their win today in Pittsburgh, clinch a berth for the first time. And I was thinking about it, Ant. I know it's easy for a lot of Cubs fans, especially Cubs fans over the last decade,
right,
where you saw a team win divisions and win a World Series, to go, ho-hum, it's the Cubs making the playoffs, not a big deal. But then you start looking around that particular clubhouse and you go, there's not a lot of championship DNA that's there. You have Ian Happ and you have Nico Hoerner. And that's about it as far as guys that are connected to. And those guys were babies in baseball years when all of that stuff was going on. So much so that we talked with Nico Hoerner yesterday about this. And I thought that Nico's perspective on celebrating just making the playoffs was really good. Here's what he told us. You've gone through this a little bit with the muted celebration in 2020 because things are still so weird, but it's okay for you guys to have a little fun once you actually clinch.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't take it for granted, right? Like you mentioned, I haven't really had a true playoff experience, and part of it because of no fans, but also just the 162 is a totally different feeling to get to the end of and be able to celebrate than a 60-game season. And so, you know, I've been with this team for 6+ years now and haven't really had that true experience. So I'm definitely not going to be picky how it comes about. I mean, obviously would love for it to be with as the team with the best record in baseball and winning the division and have everything perfectly lined up like that. But you still have to celebrate and appreciate that kind of success because there's a lot of work that goes into it and it's not guaranteed again.
It's not guaranteed again. And I think this 5-year drought is a great illustration of that. It's not guaranteed. It's why I think Cubs fans rightfully are like, hey, can we stop with the trying to project out into the future stuff and put everything that you have into the team that's in front of you that could possibly win this year's World Series?
And the World Series aspect of that, I can understand having some trepidation about going back there mentally because we do know the health status of some of the key players and where this team has been at various points and how things have looked in Milwaukee and other spots. But in the end, getting to the postseason, you're alive for that. And so that's at least, even if it's a pipe dream, it's still plausible. It's still possible that the Cubs can go that direction. But even just in the moment, today, to look at that locker room, to hear from that locker room afterwards, from that clubhouse, just all the excitement that's there, and that the players themselves are appreciative of it. They're young guys who haven't experienced it with the Cubs. They're older guys who have maybe experienced it elsewhere, but first time they're doing it with the Cubs. And so wherever the clock on your career trajectory is at the moment, this is something worthy of celebration and recognizing that, especially still early in the day, you got a little time to recover between now and mañana. So go ahead and get it in and revel in it.
And the beautiful thing is that they're not on a long trip to their next destination. They're going to Cincinnati. That's a 45-minute flight from Pittsburgh.
Stick the thumb out if they want to.
So guys can go and do whatever they need to do, and they can make their culinary choices once they get to Cincinnati, which are not great. And then they can enjoy themselves. But it's fun to see this. And we were already starting to game out like when the games would be played and like looking at the bracket. I feel like Cubs Padres is probably going to be a day game Wrigley. I could see that being the thing. So we were talking a little bit about that. So the celebration is great. And everyone should celebrate. I'm a big fan of you accomplish something, you should celebrate. And it took me a long time to get to that point as a human. Like I was always like the next thing.
Okay.
The next thing.
Yeah.
And over the last decade or so, I am like, it is okay to take some moments and some time.
I will take my flowers. Thank you very much.
I thank you very much for the flowers. I will take them. So while that's going on, and you should be in a place where you would celebrate it,
there is a news story that is worth your attention when it comes to the Cubs. Earlier today, T-Mac came onto the Cubs broadcast on Marquee, and she shared this update about Kyle Tucker.
This afternoon, the Cubs announced that Kyle Tucker has left the team to travel back to his hometown of Tampa to see his own personal physical therapist. Kyle has not played in a game since September 2nd, dealing with that left calf strain, and he has just not progressed. So he went to the team and said, "Can I go back to my own personal guys?" because he's had success with them in the past. The Cubs were all for it, so he did travel with Cubs personnel back to Tampa, and they're hopeful that in coming days they will get some answers and hopefully see some progress with that left calf strain. This is really still an injury that he remains day to day. They have no idea how long he will be out, but the hope is that he will get back and be able to play with the team some point before the playoffs.
That's a little scary. That yeah. Kyle Tucker is in a place now where he's like, I should go talk with someone else because I've got to figure out what's going on with my calf. There's a lot in play when it comes to Kyle Tucker too. And I hope as a sports fandom, a sports collective, I hope that we've all gotten the message on what calf injuries can then turn into.
Yeah, right.
Because we've already seen a bunch of guys who've had a strained calf, and then they go and do whatever it is that they do, and now they have a torn Achilles.
And it doesn't feel as prominent in baseball, but, you know, when you're talking athletes and sudden movements and everything, yes, it's certainly plausible because we've seen it so much, especially in the NBA, in the NFL, and there's no reason to think that that at least potential exists in this case. And then just, frankly, they haven't been completely forthright at other times with the injuries that Kyle Tucker's worked himself through so far this season. So just to have your radar up with every piece of news and information, especially at this stage in the season, because the days are limited for him to get healthy, whether he's healthy or not, to even return to the lineup and what he looks like when he gets there. This clock is ticking for whether or not he can actually be a part of this postseason that we now know officially the Cubs are going to take place.
Yeah, and all postgame games will be here on the Score for sure. There's still stuff for the Cubs to play for. Mathematically, the division still. And remember, the Mets are on the table for the Cubs, the second to last series of the year. The Mets are trying to either secure a wild card spot or make their wild card spot better, depending on how well they play over the next week and a half. So there's still stuff to play for. All of the games will be here on the Score. You can best believe it. We will keep you apprised. There's some cool stuff out of the clubhouse that we'll bring to you before the show is over at 6 o'clock. Ed Werder is going to join us, and we're going to talk to him about the Cowboys, the Bears' next opponent. Speaking of the Chicago Bears, we want to keep you up to date on what's going on there, too, because there are some questions here, Big Ant, and it seemed like that Bennett opened the door after the tape review on Monday and was like, yeah, you know, if you're wondering why some of the young guys are not getting a chance to play or getting onto the field, it might be because of what they're doing between Monday and Friday, which is a big deal. And when you're talking about guys who are high draft picks not getting an opportunity, like Colston Loveland and Luther Burden, there are questions that how these guys are going to be used by Ben Johnson. Well, Ben Johnson wanted to go deeper into this, and I think it's fascinating that we are at this place, and I also really like that Ben is like, yeah, we got some issues up here, and we need to work through them. This is what Ben had to say about practice habits.
I thought as a whole that team, they played a little bit harder than us, and that's a reflection of me as a coach. That's a reflection of our coaching staff, and it's a reflection of our players too. When you play a good team like that on the road, that you got to be all out and every single snap, and that just was not the case. So specifically, it was everybody.
Are there guys that need to practice better too?
I think our practice habits are yet to reflect the championship caliber team.
There is a familiarity for a lot of guys in the locker room to the way the season has started, right? How do you kind of just keep a pulse on their mental state and keeping them focused on, look, it's a long season ahead. We have time to correct a lot of these things.
Yeah, I think they understand that. It is early in the season. There are a number of teams that have started the season not the way that they would like to, and yet they bounce back and they find a way to win. And we're going to be playing our best football in December. I know that to be certain. We're just in a race right now to get better in a hurry. And the faster we get there, the wins will start coming, and we'll be just fine.
Ben, you said your practice habits aren't yet at a championship caliber. So what specifically are you looking for on the practice field this week?
We should be going to the football, finishing hard. We talk about it all the time with the offensive players that our fundamentals, our finish, and our technique, they need to show up and walk through. They need to show up on the practice field. That's how it shows up on game day. Simple things of how do we properly block, how do we catch the ball, how do we block after the catch, ball security, and things like that. It's the little things that you learn in youth league football that – even at this level, they make a huge difference.
That is harsh. For it to be going into week three, for a coach to feel it necessary to say some of that publicly, and I would imagine that he has said that privately too, a little harsh. You're the former NFL player. You're the former college football great. What did you hear?
I heard radical truth. And I think that the situation ends up, at least from my perception, dictating how positive or negative radical truth can be. If you've got an organization with an established record of excellence, then calling out guys for effort or practice habits or things like that, then that can maybe go south. And the Bears certainly have veterans on this team, but this version of the Bears hasn't done anything, and the guys who've been here with the Bears for a while now haven't done a thing yet either. So bringing in the guys, especially after everything that the guys in this locker room communicated very publicly last season about wanting to be coached hard, wanting to have details demanded of them, then there's no one who should be shirking the responsibility of what Ben Johnson is very willing to communicate publicly about this right now. And he sounds confident that it'll improve throughout the year. I respect that confidence. In the end, he and his assistants will have to continue to be demanding of the guys in that locker room to make sure they approach that level. And at some point, if the results don't improve, then can a locker room fracture based off of that? Possibly, but Ben Johnson ain't going nowhere. So, I mean, you know, he's got this season. He's got a few seasons to kind of figure this out. And so to lay your foundation, to kick the door in and say, this is the expectation, this is the standard, and I'm willing to say that it's not being met. The results that we just saw in Detroit are painfully obvious that they weren't getting met on the field. And whether it's been the discussion about young quarterbacks as the Bears have drafted multiple in the first round, and the concern of whether or not they're playing soon enough or early. We had that conversation with Mitch. We had that conversation with Justin Fields. And then, you know, Caleb, right out there from day one. But then, as we're seeing, there's still development in real time that has to happen for him. They just haven't had another alternative who's been here on the roster to play instead of him anyway. But I do think that what happens the other 6 days of the week is underappreciated by, I would say, the majority of the fandom, because you get that one day a week to watch your team during a football season. And so a lot of us on the outside in just base our entire perspective on that. Well, that guy's not getting it done. How come the other guy isn't playing? Pretty frequently, it's because the other guy isn't earning the right to play in those other 6 days that are there. And if he's not getting it done then, he's probably not going to be any better than the dude getting his teeth kicked in on Sunday.
What I've enjoyed is listening to people who have played the game over the last couple of days. You, Matt Forte, Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and another former Hawkeye, our guy Matt Bowen.
Yes, sir.
You guys have all, there is a level of righteous indignation that I'm hearing from all of you all in different ways about stuff. And you know Matt's not a guy that goes on the air and just blows people up. Like, right. That's not really his thing. Yeah. I want you to listen to how very specifically his football senses have been upset by what he saw and what he's seen over the first 2 weeks.
The first thing, Lawrence, is alignment and assignment. You got to know it. You have to know it. That's just a cover charge to get in the uniform. Can you line up? Can you execute the call? Can you execute audibles? Can you execute motion as a wide receiver? As a wide receiver, can you convert routes versus single high and split safety coverage post snap? There's a lot of things that go into that, but those are the basics you got to have. You got to have those. And if that's one of the issues, then that's not good enough from their perspective. You have to be a professional. You have to be ready to play, and it's always alignment and assignment first. Second thing is being able to produce in practice, right? When you're going against the number two defense, you should be able to produce in practice. If you're not doing that, that's an issue that will keep you out of uniform as well. The last thing, you know, for a guy like Burton, can he play on special teams? If he can't, well, then you have to be a really good receiver to get on the field. It needs to be a bar set that you have to do X, Y, and Z to play on my football team. There's nothing wrong with doing that. And we don't talk about that enough in pro football, right? That's usually high school and college football. But Ben Johnson, based on what I hear and what I read and what I watch on TV when he's giving his press conference, it seems like someone who's trying to build a program. Another word we don't use enough in pro football. But there are programs. There's a program in Kansas City. There's a program in Philadelphia. You look at teams like that. There's a program in Buffalo. A way they do certain things. You know, in the style of play they lean on. All those three teams do that. I think Ben Johnson wants to get to that point where you can hold people accountable to a certain degree and say, this is what you have to do to play in my football team.
So all the pros that we have access to here at the Score have reacted similarly to this. And I think it's good. Like, there were some people that were kind of aghast by Ben Johnson talking about not having championship practice habits. And I will say that it's a fair question for a fan to go, well, wait a minute, you've been running practice since March.
Yeah.
That is a fair criticism.
100%.
For someone to be like, well, why hasn't that been the case? Because you've been here since March. But I do appreciate him. Again, I don't know this for sure, but I imagine that he shared similar feelings with the team to then say it publicly. What happened on Sunday, not good enough. What we're doing throughout the week, not good enough. And then it gets strange, because then after that, Jaquan Brisker went on Twitter and someone had tweeted at him and saying, yeah, we got to get you more involved. And he's like, yeah, they got to use me. And it's like, this is not the time, sir. This is not the time for you to be tweeting. I don't know what if you saw what Ben said out here publicly, but you might want to put your phone away for a while.
When you think about it, I mean, he was injured for the majority of last season. He might just be kind of in the bad habit of thinking that Twitter is cool during the season because he got hurt and he's dealing with the concussions. And he did a lot of social media interaction with fans on behalf of the Bears and kind of, you know, pushing Bears positivity and rooting for his teammates on social. But now he is back on the field, and this team 2 weeks into the season is already reeling. And I think that perception that comes with Jaquan Brisker tweeting as an active starter with a lot of the hopes of this Bears defense and the improvement that's necessary, he's got to recognize that this ain't 2024. You're on the field right now. You are a part of the problem because there's a big problem with this Bears defense. To become a part of the solution, Twitter is not the place to make that happen.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. It seems like this is a new coach too. Yeah. Like, this is in a new coaching staff. It's not the same. And, you know, I had someone.
I tend to, you know, I try to give the benefit of the doubt with some of this, where whether it's like texting with somebody or something we read on social media where you can't, there's no voice inflection with it or anything. This might not be an upset Jaquan Brisker, like, oh, I'm mad at DA. This might be him just sort of lightheartedly like, yeah, man, let me help with the run game. Like, in his mind, it might not even be that deep to him. But the perception is something when your team is 0-2 and you just gave up 50-plus, you got to be careful with that stuff.
There's no doubt about it. There's more stuff that we're going to do. We're also going to do more stuff from the Cubs clubhouse after they clinched. It's a first time in 5 years that they have clinched a playoff berth, and we'll go back to Pittsburgh and check in over there with the Cubs officially clinching a spot in the postseason. That's brought to you by First Bank Chicago. Your interest is our priority. Every moment of Cubs playoff baseball will be heard on the Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Ed Werder is going to join us to talk about Bears and Cowboys. That's next on the
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real life moments. Maurice's.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Score.
At the bar that night, there was a large gathering of a lot of NFL media, and Jerry sat down with us.
He was clearly aggravated and frustrated about something, mad even, but we decided the night's over, time to leave, and after walking past Jerry's table, Jerry grabs a fistful of my pants leg, and he says, "Don't leave now." And I said, "Why not?" And he said, "You'll miss the story of the year." And I said, "Well, what's the story of the year?" And he said, "I'm going to fire that Jimmy Johnson, that disloyal son of a bitch."
Who's going to fire a guy who just won back-to-back Super Bowls?
For my own reason, I just wasn't satisfied with the toast and decided to toast someplace else.
This was Jerry's rejection that was talking. It was not alcohol that was speaking. Ben, he gave us the quote.
500 coaches could win the Super Bowl with this team.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
We're going to talk with Ed Werder in just a minute. By the way, someone texted in and was like, "Hey, so when was the last time a Chicago team was in the playoffs?" And it's funny because we were having this discussion.
Not again. Not again. It keeps happening.
It keeps happening. 2021, you had the White Sox in the ALDS. Remember the embarrassment against the Astros?
Oh,
the year before that, they had been in the playoffs. The Cubs and the White Sox were in the playoffs at the same time.
Oakland took out the Sox that year,
correct?
Right?
Yeah. Correct. And the Marlins took out the Cubs in what were two really embarrassing series. So the Cubs are back in the playoffs for the first time in 5 years. And they still have a shot at the division as it stands right now. They're 4.5 games out of first place.
So the White Sox reign at the top of the heap in Chicago sports is coming to an end. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Justin, I appreciate everyone listening that night when Herbie and I did post game after the last White Sox won a postseason game. Thanks for listening, everyone. It did happen.
Yeah. And the 2020 season, it was who threw the no-hitter? That was me and Layla. We jumped on the air.
Ooh. Lucas Giolito.
Giolito, right? We jumped on the air
worst
for that.
Worst pitcher in baseball.
Stephen B. Smith. She's going to need a new co-host for First Take.
Lucas Giolito
is the worst pitcher in baseball. So we are talking a little bit about that. We are also talking about the Bears and stuff that's going on at Halas Hall, which is really, really crazy. But yeah, it's awesome that the Cubs were able to clinch a playoff spot. There's still more for them to play for, like, I think the number for the first wild card is 7. Like, it's the magic number is still 7 to clinch that, and they've got the Mets coming in next week. So there's still work to do, but knowing that they have a playoff spot is great. And I'm looking forward to the playoffs being here on the score.
Is Marshall still predicting the Cubs to win the division, by the way? I remember like a couple weeks ago I was in a transition with him at some point. He told me, just stay tuned. The Cubs are going to come back and win this whole thing. You just wait. And then, I don't know.
I think he's still predicting that.
I feel like they're still way behind.
Along with predictions, I'll make one after I tell you this, that this hour is being brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. I say it like you mean it. I predict that this staff that Ben Johnson has will change next year.
Next year?
Mm-hmm. I predict it. I don't know that. I'm not reporting it. Like, I just,
like the team dietitian will be removed? Or you're talking about maybe a prominent position here?
I just think that now that he has the big whistle, as you like to say, and now that he's seeing how things work, with a little bit more time, there might be more, instead of team of rivals and guys that you're getting recommendations on, maybe Ben will be like, I think I need my guys in here to try and make some of this stuff work.
I hear you on that.
All right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I want Ben to tighten his act up, you know, a good bit also. But, yeah, I mean, it's his call. It's his staff.
It's so
he's
going
to get to make that decision.
The guy who makes all the calls down in Dallas is Jerry Jones. And it was fun seeing Ed Werder on the documentary on Netflix and going back through some of those stories, especially considering that Dave Wannstedt sits in this studio once a week. So we were hearing what Dave had to say about all of this stuff, too. And I love that doc. Like, it is really well done. Mm. I don't know if it's completely honest, but I know that it's really well produced. Ed Werder has covered the league for forever and has covered the Cowboys forever. That is the Bears' next opponent. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Ed, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Want to start here with you. What's the last 4 weeks been like with the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, there's obviously been a lot of upheaval because nobody really expected a week before they opened the season against the Philadelphia Eagles that they were going to trade their best defensive player and, you know, fail to get him out of the NFC. They sent him to the Green Bay Packers, who have 3 times ended the Cowboys season in the playoffs, including, you mentioned, that Netflix documentary. It ends Jerry agonizing over, you know, losing the playoff game in 2024 with Mike McCarthy as the head coach. You know, he's tearful and it's one of the worst losses ever, and yet that's who he trades Micah Parsons to, a team that came into your building when you had won 16 straight home games and got ahead 27-0 and blew you out of your own building in an embarrassing loss, probably the worst loss in Cowboys playoff history. That's who you're going to trade Micah Parsons to? So it'll be interesting, certainly, next week. Micah Parsons and the Packers come here for a Sunday night game. But between that and the fact that they played the Eagles well, gave themselves a chance to win, but didn't finish. And then they had this epic, you know, shootout with Russell Wilson and the Giants here last week and did wind up prevailing only because they have the greatest place kicker maybe in NFL history on their roster.
Ed, at what point did you realize the Micah Parsons back and forth was going to end in an actual trade? Because we've heard and seen bluster from Jerry in those situations plenty over the last, whatever, 30-plus years. But it normally ends in the guy getting the money. And Micah didn't get the money.
Right. And I think we all expected that, you know, this was going to – the outcome in this case was going to be the same as in all the other recent, you know, high-profile contracts, which, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, twice with Dak Prescott, once with Zach Martin – last year with CeeDee Lamb, where, you know, the player doesn't participate. In some cases, they're not even present for training camp, which Micah Parsons, to his credit, was. And they ultimately, you know, win the negotiation, they get paid, and they remain under contract to the Cowboys. Well, this was totally unexpected. And for Jerry to say he'd been thinking about doing this since he hired Brian Schottenheimer, which was in January, or that he thought about doing it you know, before the draft when they really could have capitalized if they were going to do it. It would have been better time then than a week before the season when, yeah, you got Kenny Clark and he's a really good defensive tackle and you need that, but he's also 30 years old and you get two first-round picks and you can't use them now to improve this team. So for Jerry to sit up there and say that, you know, this trade's something that was on his mind for a long time, and he, you know, in his from his point of view, he thinks it helps them win a Super Bowl in Dak's window. Dak's in his 10th year; he's 32 years old. If anything, this throws away this season in terms of possibly giving Dak his best chance to win a Super Bowl. So I don't think it makes a lot of sense. I think it's a bad trade for the Cowboys. Like I said, if they would have done it before the draft when everybody has salary cap space, you know, nobody has a roster put together yet, you create more competition among teams that want him, you get a better chance to get him out of the NFC, you know, with a team you're competing for a Super Bowl berth with, and you get, you know, return where you can use those draft picks right away. Green Bay's, you know, top draft, first-round draft picks have been in the 20s and 30s in 13 of the last 16 years, so... a lot of general managers I've talked to, you know, didn't criticize the Cowboys as harshly as I thought. Some said that, hey, Micah Parsons, you know, has not shown he can elevate players around him on defense. He hasn't shown the ability to be a dominator in the postseason. Those things are true. But those who think it's a bad trade for the Cowboys cite the fact that, in essence, you're getting a 30-year-old defensive tackle who is on a big contract next year and basically two second-round picks based on where the Packers, you know, have drafted typically.
Ed, I'm always fascinated by people who interact with Jerry Jones. And I know that you've done it for forever. It's been documented. You guys' relationship, you covering the team and even some of the personal stuff. I don't know what to think of him because there's part of me that's like, man, he seems fascinating. I would love to be around that guy. And then I'm like, he says that he would pay anything for a Super Bowl, but the one thing that he won't do is remove himself from being like the football decision maker. It's a long way of me asking, how would you describe Jerry Jones?
He's probably the most unique individual I've ever met. I came to Dallas to cover the Cowboys in 1989 when he purchased the franchise, hired Jimmy Johnson, drafted Troy Aikman and Steve Walsh. And so that, you know, I was here from the very beginning, and there was a lot of pushback. Jerry was reviled as the guy who, you know, fired Tom Landry after 29 years, even though the fan base here was really ready to move on from Tom Landry. You know, he became a more heroic figure because of the way Jerry did it and the aversion to Jerry and his personality. And, you know, pretty much the same still exists now, all these years later. And a lot of it's because they've had no success since he ended his partnership with Jimmy Johnson after back-to-back Super Bowl wins. He hired Barry Switzer, which seemed to be, you know, was done with the purpose of proving to his point about 500 coaches could win a Super Bowl with that talent. And Switzer, you know, ultimately was the coach who won the third Super Bowl in 4 years. But so Jerry remains a very unpopular figure, but he's a very colorful guy. You know, I think he's a lot like Donald Trump. He's a guy who, you know, has a huge personality. He's drawn to the red light on the camera, television camera. But people generally have a negative opinion of him and a strong negative opinion of him. But if they sat down and had cocktails with him or sat down to dinner with him and listened to him, you know, tell his stories and engage with them, I think they'd have a whole different opinion.
Yeah, you might spend the whole time talking about Jerry, which, you know, I suppose a lot of folks would talk about themselves a lot. Dak Prescott, in particular, he intrigues me because he's one of these quarterbacks in the sport that hasn't had real postseason success with deep runs, but we've seen several times 4,500-plus yards, 30-plus touchdown passes in the regular season. And through just the first 2 weeks of this year, I'm not sure we've seen a better version of Dak Prescott so far. Is this an even enhanced version of Dak that you're seeing?
Well, you know, he was finished second to Lamar Jackson in the MVP voting the last time he played a full season, which was in 2023. And they had had in the last 5 years the number one scoring offense in the NFL at least twice, once with Kellen Moore calling the plays, once with Mike McCarthy calling the plays. But kind of like you would think there would be more fan backlash and outrage over Micah Parsons getting traded, there's not great groundswell of support for Dak either. And in both cases, I think it's because of their failure in the postseason. Not only have they not won, but generally they haven't even played well. And Dak's 2-5 in the playoffs. That's the worst, you know, playoff record for anybody who's made more than five starts. And, you know, he's had good teams for the most part. So, but yeah, I think he's playing well now. He was he liked McCarthy. He advocated for McCarthy's return. But if McCarthy was going to go, I think, you know, keeping Brian Schottenheimer and the continuity that represented was appealing to Dak. And as they worked together this offseason and early in the year, you know, Schottenheimer, a first-time head coach, but calling plays in Dallas for the first time. You know, I think Dak has a very favorable sense of the way he calls plays, that he's an aggressive coach, that he's trying to diminish how much Dak has to do by, you know, truly committing to developing a physical running game that they never going to have under McCarthy, because that's just not what he believes in. So I think the partnership there is off to a strong start. I think they both believe in each other pretty strongly, but they need to start winning some games here, because, you know, they've got Philadelphia and Washington in their division, and this is really probably the first time in a long time that Dak Prescott started the year on what's seen as the third best team in the NFC East.
What's the Matt Eberflus experience like for you guys on defense?
Well, he was here before under Ron, apparently, and Jerry and Stephen Jones tried to persuade him to stay and not go to the Colts as defensive coordinator. They were willing to make him the defensive coordinator, but, you know, Flus is a very loyal guy, and he wasn't going to do that to Rod Marinelli, who meant so much to him. And so he left to go work for Josh McDaniels, only for Josh McDaniels to renege and not show up, while, you know, Flus is already in the office with the Colts working on that year's defense. And then Frank Reich takes over. You know, then he goes to Chicago and has a bad experience as a first-time head coach. It becomes the first head coach the Bears have ever fired in their 105 years of existence during the season. Then he comes to Dallas and has the misfortune of, oh, we're trading my best player, one of the best pass rushers in all of football. You're trading him to Green Bay. What am I supposed to do now? So there's a lot of questions about the defense right now. It's interesting because they got pressure on Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia in the opener. They totally shut down the passing game. Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown did nothing in the game. They combined for like 24 yards. They held Saquon Barkley to 60 yards rushing, but they failed to stop Hurts on some scrambles. He ran for five first downs and scored two touchdowns on scrambles, not on the tush push or the Philadelphia, the brotherly shove, whatever you want to call it. And so I think they've got to prove that what happened last week against Russell Wilson, where he looked like a Super Bowl MVP again, you know, all the big plays they gave up down the field seemed to be the result largely of communications errors in the secondary. They haven't had a consistent pass rush without blitzing. So there's a lot of pressure on the defense and on Matt Eberflus going into this game back in Chicago, where he obviously, you know, has a huge personal interest in beating the Bears.
No doubt about it. Ed, thanks so much for the time. We really appreciate your point of view.
Good to talk to you guys. I'm glad the phone line held up.
it actually sounded great.
Yeah, it
worked out really well. That is Ed Warder. We have to make some corrections, y'all. We have to make some. There's some things that we forgot. Okay?
Who's going to do it?
I'm going to do it.
Okay.
I'm going to make the corrections. We were thinking totally in just baseball world, right?
Yeah.
You may have forgotten this because we have been spending what feels like an eternity in play-in games.
Uh-huh,
but the Bulls actually did have playoff games in 2022.
Good call. Yeah.
And they won the first one and then got destroyed by Milwaukee. And also, the Sky won a championship. And the reason that we forget that the Sky won a championship is because they immediately got rid of all of those players.
Everybody must go.
Everyone had to go.
Yeah.
And the last 2 years have been a nightmare, even though you have Angel Reese and Camila Cardosa. So that's, we owe apologies to the Bulls in the sky and the Stars too. But the Cubs are in the playoffs for the first time in 5 years.
And now, Scott Town, I need us to give it up for Cook County President Brett Winkle.
That's true. That was the celebration.
Now we would like to give a warm welcome to our governor, J.B. Brisker. Let's make some noise.
I love that you have that on deck. That is great. All right, we need to take a break. There's a tight end question about the Bears that we need to discuss, and Big Ant's got thoughts. That's next here on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Here we go.
Count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
This is incredible.
Watch your local NFL game live all season long.
And he's in for a touchdown.
Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Kyler Warren broke T.Y. Hilton's rookie record for most receiving yards by a Colts player in their first two games of their career.
You see Warren playing and you're like, this guy wants to be the best player in football. Your tight end Warren is like maybe my new favorite. But
it's so big, so strong.
Yeah.
Downfield, Tyler Warren. There he goes down the near sideline. 30. He's at the 20-yard line. What a nifty move by Tyler Warren.
This is a tight end who's moving like a running back.
Yards after the catch, the big fill of Tyler Warren.
Oh. Tyler Warren, he's been phenomenal.
Tyler Warren, we talked about, is just a superstar.
Oh no. That was a hype video that was put together by the folks at the Indianapolis Colts. I wonder if our guy J.J. Stankovitz had his hands in making that hype video. You know, the tight end that most Bears fans expected the Bears to have. They drafted Colston Loveland, who I was on board with that. I want to be very honest about that, although I have said that I think both guys are going to end up having really strong careers. Tyler Warren is off to a great start for the very surprising 2-0 Indianapolis Colts. Why hasn't Colston Loveland made an impact, Big Ant Heron, who's sitting in for Speaks today?
Well, it's it sounds like the head coach may have some issues with what's happening on the practice field. That seems to be at least partly what Ben Johnson may be indicating there for his role in things. But the draft itself, getting Tyler Warren, I mean, I was at Indianapolis Colts camp for a couple of days covering it for NFL radio. And just talking to the folks in Indianapolis, they were, let's say, and I've talked to a whole lot of folks, high ranking and low ranking. They were rather pleased with the way the draft fell and rather surprised that the draft ended up falling in the way that it did, that left Tyler Warren available to them. And, you know, I had Tyler Warren as the top tight end in the draft. I was willing to go with the logic of where Colston Loveland fits into how Ben Johnson sees this offense. And so far, to Cole Kmet's credit, Cole Kmet, I think, has played really well far this year. You know, in targets, opportunities, maybe somewhat limited, but I think that's okay. Cole Kmet, I've never seen him as the caliber of weapon that needs double-digit targets in a game anyway. But he blocked his tail off the other day. A lot of the stuff the Bears did in the run game had, you know, elements of misdirection to it because the offensive line couldn't move anybody off the ball from Detroit. So there was a good amount of jet sweep action and misdirection, and Cole Kmet either motioning across the formation or having to seal the edge to allow players to be able to get outside and outflank the Lions defense. And when the Bears gained yards on the ground, Cole Kmet had a big role in that. So I think he's played really good football, and that's at least a part of the factor in Loveland not getting more opportunities so far. But you expended some major draft capital to get this guy here. You've got to find a way to get him involved, and he has to perform at a level that will get him more involved as well. And part of it in his evaluation was assumption to a certain extent, because by comparison, Tyler Warren had to carry the Penn State offense from a pass receiving perspective last year, and he didn't miss action, and he was out there, and he was blocking, and he was receiving, and he was run after catch. And so just comparing the two prospects, Tyler Warren, we knew exactly what he was. Colston Loveland, it's more projection because he was playing banged up his final season at Michigan, and they just had such a morbid passing attack that you didn't have to see him, you know, operate with the same volume as a pass receiver. So there's more projection involved in where Loveland will be able to go from here than Warren by comparison. And again, at Colts camp, they were rather surprised but rather pleased with how things worked out for him.
It sounds like there's a lot of work to do for the young players to get up to a championship standard at practice. There's all sorts of stuff that's going on. In fact, Mark Grody texted us and was like, guys, I'm going to need 2 seconds for the Bears hit today. So we will oblige. Mark Grody is next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Wow!
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.